You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Do students have a constitutional right to literacy? That question is at the heart of a Detroit lawsuit that's just been argued before the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. The suit was filed in 2016 on behalf of some students from Detroit public and charter schools, arguing the substandard, awful classroom conditions, lack of certified teachers, and up-to-date textbooks keep the kids from learning to read. Erin Einhorn is with NBC News Digital, based in Detroit. Erin, welcome.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So recap this lawsuit for us.
So, you know, I hadn't really thought about this much before, but the United States Constitution does not contain the word education in it anywhere. None of us have a constitutional right to an education, let alone a quality education. And the Supreme Court, dating back to 1973, has found that, you know, there is that we don't have a right to a quality education. We don't have a right to an equitable education. And advocates, parents, teachers, students over the years have primarily since then, since that Supreme Court ruling in 1973, have turned to the state courts to try to, you know, improve their access to education. But this case in Detroit, this right to read literacy case, which started in 2016, is arguing that the quality of education in Detroit is so poor, so insufficient, that children graduating from schools in Detroit are unable to participate in the constitutional rights that are guaranteed in our Constitution, including the right to vote, to serve on a jury, to participate in our democracy.
So the education is really at the root of failing to provide other constitutional rights is what this is arguing.
So, yeah, it is arguing that there is, that even though we don't necessarily have a constitutional right to a quality education, we have a constitutional right to a basic education, to an education at least sufficient enough that we can choose our candidates for president and governor.
And this Detroit case, as you say, filed in 2016, remind us, it's kind of been, you know, twisting and turning its way through the court. So kind of remind us of the track it's followed.
Yeah, the case was filed in 2016. And forgive me, I don't remember the exact, I think it was last year, the trial court dismissed the case. Said, while it's true that conditions in Detroit schools are quite poor, and I should say that all sides in this case, nobody's arguing, hey, these schools are great. That's not what they're considering. The question is, are they so bad that it violates the Constitution? And the trial court, the district court, found that that even if the plaintiffs in this case, in the case is brought on behalf of students in Detroit, even if these students are able to prove that everything that they alleged in the lawsuit, even if they're able to prove every detail, that it still wouldn't constitute a violation. And so the district court dismissed it. And now the case is going to the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, to the appeals court. And that court heard arguments at the end of October, which they are now considering.
And this suit is filed against, it was against Governor Rick Snyder, right? And now that has changed because he's no longer in office.
Right. So now it's against Governor Whitmer and also the Michigan State Board of Education.
Tell us, how has Governor Snyder's administration responded? Now it's Governor Gretchen Whitmer's administration responded to this case.
Yeah. So when Governor Snyder was in office, he argued that essentially that's true, the schools were in a difficult situation, but that it didn't violate the Constitution. So essentially the same argument that the judge who dismissed it found, which is that there was no constitutional violation. Governor Whitmer has come in and said, actually it's moot, that it doesn't matter as much. I mean, in addition to not violating the Constitution, they're saying, well, things have changed in Detroit. So when the case was filed in 2016, Detroit public schools were still under the control of an emergency manager.
From years of control from the state.
Right. So, for much of the past two decades, there had been some form of control of the schools that wasn't a locally elected school board. So now you have a locally elected school board. You have the action that the state legislature and Rick Snyder took in 2016, which was to create a new school district, the Detroit Public Schools Community District, which wasn't facing the huge debts that the Detroit Public Schools, the predecessor district, had been facing. They put $675 million, I believe the number was, put a lot of money into this, creating this new school district, and now you have a new superintendent. He's made changes to the curriculum, raised teacher pay, things like that. Test scores are ticking up. So they're saying, okay, you know, we're all set, we're fixed.
Not much comfort to those who filed the suit, who say that they can't read and can't succeed.
Right. And I think everybody will agree that the improvements that we've been seeing in Detroit are, you know, fairly incremental. And the lives of the children who are emerging from these schools. And I should say that the case isn't just about students who attend the Detroit Public Schools Community District. It includes charter school students as well.
And there is also a Rhode Island case. It's similar. So break it down for us. What are the overlapping themes? And then how do the Detroit and the Rhode Island case differ?
Yeah, so the case in Detroit, the plaintiffs, the students are arguing that their literacy education is subpar, that their education is so poor that they're essentially illiterate, that they're not able to read. And they're defining that somewhat broadly. It includes, you know, math and other topics. In Rhode Island, there is a similar case that has been filed where the students, the plaintiffs, are arguing that their civics education is so substandard, so poor, that they can't participate in their democracy. And they're very similar cases. They're making a similar argument, but they're making it before different courts, which means they could get a different result.
So where are we now? What's next and what could potentially happen? Arguments have been presented to the appeals court?
Right. So the appeals court is going to consider that. And in fact, the Rhode Island case is going, I think, just to the trial court next month. So both of those cases are kind of progressing. And now we watch and wait and we see, you know, if either case is successful, it could have huge implications across the country. So it would mean that every student in every urban school district, every rural school district, any school district anywhere that felt that the quality of the education being provided was substandard would be able to bring a lawsuit under the Constitution and say, this violates my rights. So it could have sweeping implications if it's successful.
And meaning if the appeals court affirms the claim made by the students. And
then it would go to the U.S. Supreme Court, presumably.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah. I mean, especially if the case in Rhode Island goes a different way than the case in Michigan, right, then you're going to have, when you have two appeals courts going in opposite directions, that's one of the reasons the Supreme Court might come in.
Erin Einhorn with NBC News Digital. Erin, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.